This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Emergence News on Plains FM 96.9, citizen-made radio.
Tēnā koutou katoa, greetings and welcome to Emergence News broadcast from the Garden City of Christchurch, here on the beautiful South Island of Aotearoa, New Zealand. My name is Shafir and I'm glad to be back in the studio with my fellow presenters, who today are Peter and John. Hi guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
And we're bringing you the good news story that despite all that is dire in the world at this time, we generally feel positive and optimistic. Do we?
We do.
Yeah, but I have to get near you to feel like that, Shafir. I work in a government agency. Come on.
Okay. All is working out as predicted by Maitreya, the world teacher, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. They are here in the world living as men among humanity, inspiring, guiding, and whenever able, minimizing the sometimes catastrophic effects of our unwise actions. The fact that they are here is reason for us to hope. They could only come at our invitation, and that invocative call poured out to them after the Second World War with such a potency that Maitreya made the decision to come earlier than expected. He has been with us since July 1977 and has his base among the Asian community in London, England. He is, of course, as the world teacher, here for every single person on the planet. And we as a global group of volunteers have collated much evidence to support our assertion of his presence. However, our job is not to convince you to believe us, but to share what we know in the hope that we can give you some hope in these dark times. Today, our program comes from a message of the Master called Gambling Gestures, and we're also looking at humanity's response to it. And before we get into talking about that, I'm going to set the scene with a quote from the Master, who says, "Whenever men make a determined step into right relationship, there are always others who make an equally determined step into confrontation. Multitudes work and even die for greater freedom and justice, while other forces threaten the peace in cynical attempts to consolidate their diminishing power. Meanwhile, humanity at large watches and trembles, witnessing with fear a renewal of ancient hatred thought to be discarded and overcome." Okay, so let's talk to Peter and John, and you've been looking at some of these issues of gambling gestures that are happening around the world. So, John, would you like to go first?
Yes, I would. And I've grabbed an article by a guy called George Monbiot. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. M-O-N-B-I-O-T. And he's written articles previously around political attitudes towards global warming and corporate attitudes. Mm-hmm. And he's written a fabulous article, which I think ties in with what we're discussing today. And he's called it "From Trump to Johnson, Nationalists are on the Rise, Backed by Billionaire Oligarchs." And as we know from previous discussions, oligarchy is a form of power structure in which power rests with a small number of people. These people may be distinguished by nobility, wealth, family ties, education, or corporate, religious, political, or military control. So the elite, the small elite. Anyway, George starts off with, 7 years ago, the impressionist Rory Bremner complained that politicians had become so boring that few of them were worth mimicking. He said they're quite homogenous and dull. And today his profession has the opposite problem. However extreme satire becomes, it struggles to keep pace with reality. The political sphere, so dull and grey a few years ago, is now populated by what he calls preposterous exhibitionists. Mm. And the trend is not confined to the UK. Now, George writes for The Guardian in the UK. He says everywhere the killer clowns are taking over. And he's listed a whole lot of them: Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage, Donald Trump, Modi, Bolsonaro, Scott Morrison. And he's kind of listed a whole lot of these kind of nationalist leaders that have sprung up all over the place. He calls them ludicrous strongmen, or weak men, as they so often turn out. and they dominate nations that would once have laughed them off the public stage. And he's saying why the technocrats, who held sway almost everywhere a few years ago, giving way to these extravagant buffoons. And I guess what he's telling us as he goes through this article is that there's a force at work behind the puppet. And he says social media, an incubator of absurdity, and I just thought that is a brilliant title, is certainly part of the story. But while there has been plenty of good work investigating the means, there's been surprisingly little thinking about the ends. Why are the ultra-rich, who until recently used their money in newspapers to promote charisma-free politicians, now funding the circus? And he goes on to tell us, why would capital wish to be represented by middle management's one moment and jesters the next? George says, the reason I believe is that the nature of capitalism has changed. The dominant force of the 1990s and early 2000s, corporate power, demanded technocratic government, that is, government run by specialists. It wanted people who could simultaneously run a competent, secure state and protect profits from democratic change. In 2012, when Bremner made this complaint, power was already shifting to a different place, but the politics hadn't caught up. So the policies were supposed to support and promote enterprise, slashing taxes for the rich, ripping down public protections, destroying trade unions. And this instead stimulated a powerful spiral of patrimonial wealth accumulation. The largest fortunes are now not made through entrepreneurial brilliance, but through inheritance, monopoly, rent-seeking, securing exclusive control of crucial assets such as land and buildings, utilities, intellectual property, and assembling what he calls service monopolies such as trading hubs, software and social media platforms.
So this is all actually, you know, making a breakdown of society. So what?
Yes.
They're gambling with our society. So yes. Why are they doing this?
I think because, and he calls it, and he answers that really well, he calls, what he's saying is these oligarchs believe that they can strip the wealth from the community and live elsewhere and be safe. So he talks about this distraction and deflection. So we're constantly being told by politicians this is a real issue. And in the meantime, the assets are being stripped from less hands into fewer hands. But he says the other thing that's happening is economic life has been offshored, and so is political life. The political rules that are supposed to prevent foreign money from funding domestic politics have collapsed. So these billionaires, these oligarchs, are actually living in tax havens. They're shifting the wealth around so that it can't be tracked. They're relying on security and secrecy to keep themselves away from scrutiny.
And they're using these people like Boris and yes. Trump.
Yes. Yeah, to distract the population, really,
yes.
aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. He calls yes. them actually the citizens of nowhere. Yeah. And he's even saying the PayPal's founder, Peter Thiel, who's bought property in New Zealand recently, has sought to build artificial islands in the middle of the oceans, whose citizens could enact a libertarian fantasy of escape from the state, its laws, its regulations, and its taxes, and from organised labour. Mm. So what they're seeking is lack of structure around their activities. Mm-hmm. They want to be free to do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And to survive, they want to move offshore or they want to build these islands. And
a low-lying island would be quite good.
A low-lying island would be quite good. So what he's saying is that it's actually very difficult to fight against us. And one of the ways that we could do it is by enacting extreme tax laws. But, of course, we've lost control. We, the people, have lost control of the mechanism that enacts tax laws to trap and hold down these sifting, shifting oligarchy billionaires. I don't know if you just read the news recently. France is in the process of enacting law to start a process to start taxing these transnational corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And New Zealand's part of an international process. They're calling it Facebook taxing. And it's to tax these big organisations who shift around the planet. Mr. Trump has threatened retaliation he has gone on to Twitter, his favourite platform, and threatened retaliation against France. Not negotiation, but retaliation. And of
but
course,
he was hugging the president of France the other day. What's the story?
Yes. I think he's a lover that moves on quickly.
Yeah.
Because, of course, a large clump of these multinationals are American.
Yeah, of course they
are. And so Trump's saying, you know, keep your hands off them. If anybody's going to tax them, we're going to tax them.
Mm.
But what he's also done is given tax breaks to all of these major corporations. So it's a little bit, to me, like the sword of cleavage. It's almost as though we have two opposing forces on the planet now. One opposing force is saying, we'll keep things the way they are, and that's us in charge, and we'll do things the way we want them, the way we've always done. So power held by a few, and the other voice is the rest of humanity saying, hey, no, hold on, this is not sustainable.
Let's have a bit of justice.
We've tried this. Yeah. Let's have some peace. Let's have some justice.
Mm.
And that's power held by the many.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that these are the two competing forces that we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Power held by the few for their entitlement or power shared amongst the many.
Yes.
Because we were talking this morning, weren't you? You were saying that, you know, if you look at what Trump is doing, for instance, you know, you can get really sort of tied into his actions and what he's doing.
I know. It's just amazing. People get sucked in by the emotions and the talk. And forget about the truth of the matter or, you know, it's got nothing to do with it. It's really how well you tell a story.
Yeah, Noam Chomsky did a very interesting article on Mr. Trump, and he said that he is very, very clever at simplifying the story and pushing your buttons. So playing on very long-held fears to achieve his political aims. Nothing backed up by fact, nothing that can be scrutinised. So, yeah, we are in a divisive environment at the moment.
Mm.
And I still cling to Mr. Benjamin Krem's statement that we are watching the decline of our civilization. That puts it into sense for me. That puts it into context. Of course, the civilization is breaking down.
Yes, it is. Yep.
So what we'd like to talk about in this part is to actually how we can, you know, how as a humanity we can respond to this. And, you know, Maitreya says that actually the media has a big role to play in calling forth the Day of Declaration. And yet at the moment the media seem to be totally in the pockets of the people that you were talking about earlier.
Yes, very much. And in fact, the media on this planet's owned by 9 corporations.
Yes.
So that's all in media in New Zealand. I think the only media in New Zealand that retains in private ownership is the Otago Daily Times.
Right.
Everything else is part of one of those 9 corporate ventures.
Yeah. So, Peter, what do you think we could be doing? What do you...
Well, I'm heartened, actually, by the protests, and I see this huge one in Hong Kong, and, you know, they're talking about hundreds of thousands or even millions of people. And I just love the fact that this is, you know, the rise of this this great power of the people.
Yes.
And they will make changes. There will be people killed. There will, unfortunately, be all sorts of mayhem going on. But in the end result, they will win the day. There's not enough bullets to kill them all.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just incredible to see these people out there with their umbrellas and gas masks on and taking on what they see is injustice, isn't it?
This
is what they're fighting against, the injustice of someone else controlling their destiny, and they want to have a say in their destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I've been looking at what Trump's been saying, and, I mean, when he actually went in his election speeches earlier on, he went in saying that he wouldn't make any cuts to Medicare. And now he's proposing a $1.25 trillion cut to Medicare over the next 10 years.
Mm.
I mean, do his supporters actually see the change, or do they see that it's different? Do they see the lies? I watched Bernie Saunders actually talking to some of Trump's people. And he actually turned them around.
Mm-hmm.
By their own words.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they realised that they had voted for somebody they didn't actually want.
Mm.
But they hadn't started to think
Yes.
About what they were.
But, you know, it's I'm really feeling very positive about this whole situation globally, because there is a reason now, there is a target for the power of the people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think Donald Trump has done for us is oligarchy's broken cover.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, it's operated in secrecy and behind the scenes and been incredibly manipulative.
Yeah.
Now it's got more arrogant and confident and has broken cover, and we can see the problem much more clearly. And that, once again, is that sword of cleavage.
It is.
Yeah. We can see the problem. And so now the power of the people have a target.
Mm.
We now know that injustice isn't something we've worried about and couldn't name. We now know its source. Mm-hmm. So I think that's incredibly positive.
Yeah, it is. Yes, because, I mean, I was just looking at an article by Charles Bossman, who actually runs a site called Russian Insider. He's actually an American with a German background, but writes quite a lot of incisive stuff, particularly with focus on Russia. And he says, I listened to Trump's statement. I was struck by the language. Who in the world writes this stuff? He said, it reads like something written by Benjamin Yahoo's secretary, press secretary.
Mm-hmm.
It was an embarrassment to America that our leader should be beholden to other states' interests and so willing to parrot their lies. And this is basically what he's doing. And, I mean, people must see this, because in the seven-minute speech that Trump was giving, he lied 23 times.
Mm. Mm.
I mean, do any of them see that? Do they? I mean, are they awake or not?
Mm.
And so, you know, I see sooner or later these people will actually start to analyse what's happening think. Rather than emote.
Yes.
And so, you know, there is hope for the future.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, as I've said before, I'm a fan of Greta Thunberg. There's some real intelligence in our young people. There's some real strength and there's some real courage. I think gun law reform will come through America via young people.
Yes, definitely.
Because the NRA and certainly the Republican Party aren't going to be involved in any of that, nor the Democrats.
Right.
But certainly there is change, and it's driven by young people.
Mm.
And I guess for our listeners out there, if you do want to know what's going on, you've just got to look a bit harder. Mm. You've got to dig past that initial level of media that we're being exposed to and just find some sources that possibly a little bit more accurate, a little bit more honest.
Yes.
And they're out there. You've just got to do a bit more research.
That's right. And all you have to do really is actually think about what they're saying and say, well, do I agree with that or disagree with it? Mm. Or
is it even possible?
Yeah.
Because I've heard several people now say, you know, that the way to sort of actually overcome this sort of tremendous pressure that we're feeling, you know, with all this sort of anger and hatred that's being shown, is to actually start, you know, to step back and to start imagining the world we want, you know.
Yes.
You know, using that power of mind.
Yes.
And actually, and that can be a creative force for changing the world. Mm-hmm. And then finding some way that you can actually help that to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you actually, you know, imagine a world that you'd like to live in, you know, then you can actually step back and see much more clearly rather than, as you say, getting sucked into the emotion of it.
And I know I've mentioned it previously, that is the role of the sword of cleavage, to make those choices very clear.
Yeah.
And we're getting very clear choices now between how we're going to govern this planet. Are we going to continue with what we've been doing, or do we want a planet or a spaceship that works for everybody? Those choices are becoming clearer, and I see that as a positive thing. Yeah. I think we also need to realise that with Maitreya's emergence comes these massive spiritual powers that are now coming into planet Earth.
Mm.
You know,
he's overshadowed by this great avatar
of Synergy,
who has 12 levels of cosmic consciousness.
Right.
We can't even imagine what that is.
Mm.
I mean, he himself has 2 levels of cosmic consciousness.
Mm. Mm.
But this avatar is taking these energies and turning them around.
All the hatred and division that we see will actually be counterbalanced. We'll have that in.
Yes.
And so this is what's so positive as far as what we can see.
Yeah.
And there's negative things, what's happening, but we see the future. You know, we see a positive future. We see this incredible love, which is actually the sword of cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
The Christ wields that sword of cleavage, but he calls it the sword of love because it divides people to which way are you thinking? Are you thinking about me, or are you thinking about us all together? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically something.
Yeah, and for me, it's about power sharing too. And young people are clamoring for a fair share of the power.
Mm. Yes.
I want a voice in how I manage my community. Mm. I want a voice in what my community provides for me.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly powerful stuff.
It is, yeah.
I think we're approaching a tipping point.
Yes.
I think that the carnival, the swing on the carnival's got to a really high point and it's just about to tip back.
Yes.
Yeah, the clowns are about to fall off the tightrope. The
clowns will fall off the back and it'll tip back. And we'll have an amazing ride.
We will, yes.
This is the Emergence News on Plains FM. For more information, go to shareinternational.org.
A Time Without Precedent by the Master through Benjamin Krem. Little though it may seem to be the case, mankind is moving steadily towards its destiny. Despite the tensions and anxieties of the present situation, we, your elder brothers, have full faith that men will awaken to the dangers and take timely action to meet them. That faith stems in large measure from the knowledge that the fact that men are not alone, but are indeed the recipients of care and succour from us. We see men not as separate, but as younger brothers on the path of evolution, facing and resolving, with our help, the many difficulties and dangers which that path presents to the ignorant and the wise alike. Men should understand that this is no ordinary or usual time. It is indeed a climb of climatic in scope and character, a time without precedent. For this reason alone, the problems and dangers are magnified and entail the most careful handling by men and us. Our physical presence among men, albeit in relatively limited numbers as yet, ensures that our help is forthcoming in larger measure than ever before, and will be equal to the task. Our confidence is bolstered by the fact that our great leader, Maitreya, himself is among men. His resources are vast. Behind the scenes as yet, he works ceaselessly to bring peace and progress to the affairs of men, seeking within the law to disentangle the many warring interests and so create the conditions on which true peace depends. Justice alone will bring the peace which men desire, and only when justice reigns will war become a fading memory. In almost every country is Maitreya to be found, creating a network of helpers in every field. Thus does he stitch together the fabric of the new. These selected workers know well their task. They will soon emerge and bring new thinking to the world, showing how imperative it is to make justice the primary goal for men. They will show that this alone will end forever the scourge of war, the pestilence of terror, that only a rational reconstruction of our economic structures will make justice possible and bring mankind together on a basis of trust. Thus will it be. And thus will the wisdom and precepts of Maitreya penetrate and influence the thinking of men. Many now are responding to this teaching. In every country, groups are forming and demonstrating for a better life for men, calling for an end to war, justice and freedom for all, sharing as the natural and only way to guarantee the future of the race. Have no fear. Men are awakening to the call and will assuredly triumph.
Nice one.
Great.
Yeah.
That is a great message.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We need to hear it more often, don't we?
Mm-hmm. All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. Scorpio Books in Christchurch carries the magazine and some books. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.
The opportunity to join our transmission is available Monday and Wednesday evenings and Thursday mornings, which gives us the possibility to do a service meditation in conjunction with Masters.